This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hold on, stop.
Welcome back to the Shit Show 2.0.
Okay, Boomer.
Damn millennials. Wow.
Did not know that.
Even flirters who are obviously mentally ill.
You want to be my wife?
Oh, this is going to go downhill real quick. What is going on, and welcome to Take on the World with
Johnny
and Mike D. Back in a cave.
Back in the saddle again.
We're here today to speak to you on the topic of
the
Hinterkaifeck murders. Took place back in 1921, just 43 miles outside of Munich, Germany. This was interesting. There's a lot of stuff to unpack with this one.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Wasn't this one of my topics?
I think it was, yes.
I started reading or watching a video on it, and then it was like I had to pay attention.
And you can't do that?
And I didn't feel like paying attention at the time, and I shut it off, and that's...
He texted me, hey, we should do this.
So
you could do all the research.
Yeah.
And I could figure out what happened in the video.
Oh.
So before we get into the video, I want to talk about the Deluxe Edition Network. We're a proud part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To see all the great podcasts on the network, and there's 30 of them, 30 plus.
Yeah.
Go to deluxeeditionnetwork.com, and while you're there, check out the podcast of the month. And this month, the podcasts are... Bacon is my podcast. Need I say more? Bacon makes everything better. So this must be a good podcast. The musicians who get together, hang out, drink some whiskey, sometimes invite some guests on, and just have a good time. This is a recipe for fun, entertaining, unique podcast released 2 times a week. Make sure you check out Bacon is my podcast. Because bacon makes everything better. Beard Loss Podcast. Imagine a bunch of friends sitting in their favorite dive bar chatting about whatever pops into their mind. Sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's heated, but every time it's fun, and you will laugh at least once during the show. We follow the same bar rules. We never talk politics, religion, or race. So make sure you check out Beard Laws Podcast. And we're back.
Are we really?
We are. We're back now.
I feel like I'm on another planet right now.
Really? What planet?
Xenon.
You're on penis.
I'm on planet penis. It's not round.
Sitting on top of the world.
Well, the west coast is round. Roundish.
So, 1921, outside of Munich. Before these murders even happened, there was some strange stuff going on at the house.
I think it's just in Germany, and it's just going to be strange.
I guess they were pretty remote, but they did have neighbors not far away.
What, like 30 miles?
No, it was the next farm over, but I don't know if it says what the distance is. But 6 people lived on this farm. It was Andreas Gruber.
Gruber.
He was 63. His wife, Casella, 72. A cougar.
Wow. yeah.
Their widowed daughter, Victoria.
Gabriel.
I couldn't read it. It got blurry. She was 35, and she had 2 children, which was Casella, save 7, and Joseph, age 2. And they had a living maid. The living maid was Maria Baumgartner. So the maid, while doing her work in the house, kept on hearing this knocking, which she thought was from the attic or from the, through the walls.
The old man playing with himself in the shower again.
Could be. She also thought she heard voices in the attic. She would go to Andreas and say, hey, I'm freaked out. You got to go check this out.
Man, you got to stop. You got to stop doing whatever it is you're doing up
there. Yeah, whatever you're doing in the shower, just stop.
She's like, well, I'm a maid, but I'm not cleaning that mess up again, sir.
So upon her request, he went up, he checked, never found anything. And this happened time and time and time again. The attic was a large open and empty space. And there was really no place to hide up there. So when he would go up and look, he was like, okay, nothing here.
Weird.
Maybe I should be quieter in a shower. This went on this went on for weeks. So the family maid quit. And she had to be replaced. Strange noises and happenings were blamed for her leaving.
Like, good luck trying to figure out the hole I put in the middle of the bar of soap. Don't forget to dust the soap hole. It gets slippery. That's why I did it.
So she said, look, fuck this. I'm out of here.
Oh, she left.
She left.
Damn. Bitch didn't even know what she was looking for.
So a new maid was hired 6 months later. 6 months it took him to hire a new maid. Unfortunately for her, she only worked there for a day. So she also heard knocking noises, and Andreas had to say, look, okay, I hear it too. I don't know what the fuck it is. I'm not in the shower right now, so maybe...
Not me.
Maybe the two...
Mine's more like a subtle thumping. This is a more distinct hardwood knock.
So there were still knocking sounds coming from in the walls. At some point, and I don't know exactly when, things started turning up missing in the house. That's between the... when the old maid was there and now. They couldn't figure out, you know, where these things went. It was small things, including a set of their house keys. One day, the 7-year-old went missing. She just like wandered off. So they searched everywhere for her, but couldn't find her. They checked in the forest. Everyone was in a panic mode. When they did find her, they had no idea how she got out or where she went. Exhausted and confused, she was brought back to the house and to explain what happened. When they got back to the house, on the table was a newspaper. And that newspaper had no business being there. Nobody in the family brought the newspaper. Nobody subscribed to the newspaper. It was just there. It showed up out of the blue.
That's weird. I hate when that happens.
So, that may have been before the new maid came too. Because like I said, the new maid didn't last long.
She's like, whoa, no thanks. Was it because of the knocking or?
I don't know. We'll get there.
Oh, okay.
Not long afterwards, they found the tool shed lock had been hacked and slashed.
Jesus Christ.
So I guess someone was trying to get in with a hatchet or whatever. In the spring of 1922, tracks in the snow leading from the woods to the back door were found. So they found these tracks from the woods to the back door, but there were no tracks going back out.
Uh-oh.
So the father followed the footsteps to see where they came from. He gets to the edge of the forest, and the tracks just stop. No explanation, no nothing. There were no more tracks.
Did the thing jump out of a tree?
I don't know.
Landed in the snow.
He confided in his neighbor who lived a few hundred yards away. So, okay, a few hundred yards away. But this area was still very remote.
This sounds like every fucking...
horror movie?
Horror movie with a cabin in the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
Who that?
Podcast therapy dog in the house.
Come here. What are you doing?
Hey, baby. So now they hire the new maid.
New maid.
No, this all happened before the new maid was hired.
Oh, I thought we're after the point where the second maid left already.
But no.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. So all this took place between, like, the old maid was there when some of this stuff was taking place. She quit. A lot of this stuff happened, and now they just hired the new maid. I don't know why I wrote it the other way. I'm screwed up. So, on March 31st, Maria Baumgartner arrived at the farm to take over the maid's duties. This is the same day the entire family ends up murdered.
Jesus Christ. She picked a hell of a fucking start date.
Yeah, I know. Like, could you come in tomorrow? No. No, I'll be there tonight.
Yeah.
Go to coffeebros.com and use TOTW10 for discount at checkout. Monday mornings, the arch nemesis of productivity. But fear not, dear office warriors, for we've got some tips to help you survive the dread Monday blues.
We have sort of a problem here.
Now, some folks might reach for a little liquid courage to get through the day. But let's face it, that's not exactly workplace approved. And we all know HR isn't a fan of the Monday Merlot technique. Then there's the classic angry walk. You know, the power stomp through the cubicles, making enemies out of innocent plants and office furniture. Sure, it's a way to blow off steam. But HR might have a thing or two to say about your newfound reputation as the Monday Mauler. But fear not, there's a better way to tackle Mondays. Enter Coffee Brothers Coffee. That's right, folks. Instead of drowning your sorrows and spirits or terrorizing your coworkers with your Hulk-like rage, why not opt for a simple pleasure of a cup of Coffee Brothers Coffee? The socially acceptable way to tackle Mondays without the HR headache. So grab a cup, take a sip, and conquer the day one delicious drop at a time. Coffee Brothers sources seasonal, award-winning, and specialty coffees focusing on high scoring and high quality blends, espresso roast, and single origin coffees, which are all small batch roasted. Experience complex taste notes from fragrant and aromatic to bold and rich. Coffee Brothers Coffee is a two-person brother team, hence the name. They roast all of their coffees in small batches out of their New York City roastery. Go to coffeebros.com and use TOTW10 for discount at checkout. So on March 31st, Maria Baumgartner arrived at the farm for her to take over the maid duties. This happens to be the same day the entire family ends up murdered. So bad timing.
The entire family. Wow.
Entire family, including the maid.
Oh. Okay, that was my next question.
Yes. during the night, Victoria, her 7-year-old daughter, Godzilla, and her parents, Andre and Godzilla, were quietly lured to the barn where they were murdered one at a time. So I don't know how this happened.
How did they know that?
Why are you...
Wow, is that the rain? Holy crap, dude. I can hear everything with these headphones on. I can hear your heartbeat.
Yeah, that's the rain. So I don't know how they know that.
I'm just being a dick.
I have no idea how they know that. Because I said the same thing when I was doing the research. Well, how do you freaking know they were brought out one at a time?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure some detective figured it out.
So they were killed with a mattock. You know what a mattock is?
No, I thought that said Matlock. They were killed with a VHS tape of a Matlock episode.
No, I'm going to bring up a picture of the murder weapon.
A mattock. Sounds like a farm tool.
Yes.
Oh, it looks like a pickaxe.
Yeah, except most of them will only have this edge.
Okay.
So it doesn't have the pick side. It has like a...
It looks like an axe side.
But it's not sharp.
What's it for?
It's for
killing people?
What this, like you use to chop the ground to make a line, and this is, you dig it out.
Oh, so like planting vegetables
yeah.
and the seeds and stuff. Okay. So that's I have one of those.
I have one. That's what they were killed with. And I never knew it was called a mattock.
I didn't either. Well, you learn something new every day, don't you?
So they were killed with a mattock.
A mattock! Good for killing seven people. Luring seven people quietly to a barn and murdering each one
of them. It slices. It dices.
Does everything.
The killer would drag them to a corner of the barn, lay them down, then cover them with straw. They were all killed with a mattock.
What I would do.
And the mattock belonged to the farm. He didn't bring it with him. It was the farm's implement. Don't know how they know that either.
That's smart.
All were killed with blows to the head. All the bodies were stacked in the barn. The killer went into the house, used the same weapon to kill Joseph, the two-year-old.
Jesus Christ.
Sleeping in a bassinet.
What the fuck did he ever do to anyone?
I don't know. And then they killed Baumgartner, the maid, in her bedchamber. The investigators showed no reason why they would go into the barn. Why they would like? Why would they go out? They couldn't find out why they voluntarily went to the barn, and they don't know what would have done to lure them out.
How would you lure them out?
Right,
kitty.
I couldn't tell you. The bodies weren't discovered till like 4 days later.
Jesus Christ! And this was in the 30s.
20s, 21, 22.
Strange.
So the bodies weren't found until 4 days later, but this place, being as remote as it was fucking Grand Central Station.
Yeah, I'll say.
So, but look, here's what happened. On April 1st, coffee sellers Hans Shivrosky and Edward Shivrosky arrived at the farm to take an order. They knocked on the door. They knocked on the windows. There was no answer. They walked around the property, found the gate to the machine house was open, but decided to leave. So they were there and left.
This like goes to my theory, like when somebody kills somebody, and I see this all the time in these forensic shows, they will pick the most obscure place to bury this body. Somewhere in the woods, mountains, whatever, and some bumbling buffoon walking his dog stumbles upon it. It's like, what the hell is that? Oh, my sure reported to the police. And it's like, what are the odds? Like, hey, man, what do you want to do with this coffee? Maybe we should go to that remote village and try and sell it.
Well, apparently they bought coffee from these guys all the time. I don't know if they go out there with a 10-pound bag once a year. I don't know.
100-pound sack. I'm sure it wasn't like a little, you know.
So, like our new sponsor, the Coffee Brothers.
Yay! You come out there with a couple K-cups.
Yeah. They had K-cups in 1922. when walking around the property, Kazilla was absent from school without excuse for the next few days. The family didn't show up to Sunday worship. A local mechanic, Albert Horner, went to the Hinterkaifeck farm on April 4th to repair an engine on a feeder. He said he did not see any of the family. He heard nothing from the farm animals, but the dog in the barn was barking while he was there. After waiting for the family for an hour, he decided just to start on the repair, which he completed about 4 hours. So he's there for 4.5 hours working on this machine.
He has no clue that there's a pile of bodies in the barn.
No.
Underneath some hay.
When he goes to leave, he sees the dog, who was once inside, is now outside tied up.
What?
That's his story. So he goes to knock on the door, and there's still no answer. All the doors are locked. Albert then goes to the Schlittenbauer farm Schlittenbauer, and tells them that he fixed the feeder like he was asked to, and tells him no one was there, but someone may have been there because they let the dog out. He asked Schlittenbauer to let the family know that the machine was fixed. So around 3:30, Lawrence Schlittenbauer. Schlittenbauer.
Said they pronounce their B's like B's?
Bar.
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 Because I know that the V is pronounced with a V.
Yeah. We're in America, we'll speak American.
Lawrence Shitbag.
He sent his son, his 16-year-old son Jonathan, and his 9-year-old son to the Hinterkaifeck farm to see if they could make contact with the family. When they reported, they told they didn't see anybody. So old man Lawrence Schlittenbauer headed to the farm the same day with Michael Pohl and Jacob Siegel.
Jesus, where the fuck are all these people coming from?
That's what I'm saying. It was like Grand Central fucking station.
They live in the middle of nowhere. You had hordes of fucking randoms showing up.
So this is where, like, in the one video I watched.
I want coffee. I'm here to fix your tractor.
In the one video I watched, this is where it gets a little hinky because I don't know how if the story was embellished in any way. But supposedly, when Lawrence got there, he went right to the barn.
Well, that's sussy.
They went into the barn, found the bodies of Alex Kazilla, the daughter Victoria, and his granddaughter Kazilla, stacked. Shortly afterwards, they entered the house, found the chambermaid, the maid, and Joseph were murdered in the homestead. So, apparently, from the story I remember, he went in there and he was kind of like moving the bodies and like showing these other two guys like around, like he was giving a fucking tour.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying you probably shouldn't go in the house. So he goes in the house anyway. And he's like giving a tour in there. And I think he picked up the murder weapon and like, now none of this is in the research I found, but it wasn't a video that I watched.
You know, it's, hypothetically, if I were to kill 7 people in this house, this would be the weapon I would use.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
And I'd swing it in this manner.
Then I might, I don't know, lure them outside one by one and stack the bodies.
So apparently, there were signs that the house was still being lived in. The fire was lit after 4 days.
Right.
There was evidence of someone eating in the kitchen. When the authorities showed up, they determined someone had been living in the house for 4 days following the murders, including milking the cows.
Oh, well, I mean.
But you want the cows to hurt.
Yeah.
You don't want their breastuses to swell.
It's very uncomfortable.
There was evidence that the young 7-year-old Kazilla had been alive for several hours after her assault.
This is why I turned it off, I think, because I couldn't keep up with all the names, and it's very.
Well, there's two.
I get it now, but like at the time, like
there's
I said.
Two Kazillas. There's the mom, or the grandmother, and the granddaughter.
Okay.
So this is the 7-year-old. So they said that she was still alive. She had torn her hair out in tufts while she was laying in the straw, I guess from the pain she was in, whatever. Yeah. During the investigation, George Reingerber, Inspector George Reingerber, was hampered by a number of people who had interacted with the crime scene. And this is where they talked about Lawrence. Lawrence had reportedly moved the bodies in the barn, and he seemed to be acting as a tour guide at the crime scene. He also made entry to the house with a key that he had.
Oh, where'd that come from?
I don't know. There was a key missing from the house.
Now, actually, you know what?
He's a neighbor. He might have a key.
Think about it. Those old houses probably had skeleton keys, which aren't very secure.
That's true.
I think you...
But he had the key.
He had the key.
I mean, I have the key to Chucky's house.
You have the key to my house.
I have the key to your house. I never lock my door, so I don't really have my key. People found it odd that he had the key, especially since a set of keys had gone missing. So there's a list of suspects. The original theory was a drifter stopped, killed the family, meant to rob him. However, a large sum of money was found in the house, and it was openly laying out, and it was barely hidden. Or it was either openly laying out or barely hidden. Mm-hmm. It was clear that the perpetrator had remained at the farm for several days. Someone had fed the cattle, consumed an entire supply of bread from the kitchen.
So they were a concerned murderer.
Yeah. No. Well, you don't want the animals to suffer.
Yeah, I mean, like, you don't want them to get behind on their farm work.
Had recently cut some meat in the pantry. Due to that, the drifter theory was laid to rest. Well, why?
Yeah, I mean, what better place to lie in the... I mean, you know nobody's... Well,
like, no one's coming out there. Well, apparently there was people coming out there, but it's a farm. You could see someone coming up the road. You just
hide
till they leave and then come back out and eat your sandwiches.
Yeah, milk the cow.
With no clear motive to be gleaned from the crime scene, the police began to formulate a list of suspects. Despite repeated arrests, no murderer has ever been found, and the files were closed in 1955.
Wait a minute. Despite numerous arrests?
They said despite repeated arrests, no murder was found. So maybe they do things different in Germany than they do here. Especially in 1922, you know, because the Nazis were still hanging out. They might have just taken him into custody, and they call that unrest.
Yeah.
To question him. I don't know. The last interrogation took place in 1986.
Holy shit.
Before the chief detective superintendent, Conrad Mueller, retired. So there's a whole lot of hinky shit here going on. But the short and small of it, they never solved this. And even though it was closed in 1955, apparently it must have been reopened because they were questioning someone in 86.
God damn, that must have been old as shit.
A theory that rests... A theory that restlessness in the stable is what drew the victim to the barn. However, during latest tests, human screams from the barn could not be heard from the living area, so how could you hear the animals?
Yeah. I think that snot-nosed punk neighbor fucking did it.
And I'm kind of in that camp, especially the way he was tramping around a crime scene, moving bodies. Yeah. Giving tours. Charging 50 cents a tour. Which is
step right up, come get your picture with the dead people.
1922 does a lot of money, so.
Yeah.
You see, Carl Garble, the husband of Victoria, the widowed
cucumber. What's her name? The widowed
daughter.
Godzilla?
Victoria.
Yeah.
Victoria, not Cazilla, was her daughter, which would be Cazilla's father, well, supposedly.
Yeah.
He was reportedly killed in 1914 during the First World War by a shell attack in France. The body was never recovered, leading to speculation about the authenticity of his death. Speculation arose after the murders regarding whether Carl had truly died during the war. Victoria conceived and gave birth to her son, Joseph, while Carl was absent.
Oh, you.
Rumors circulated about an incestuous relationship between Victoria and her father.
Oh, old man fucking...
Andreas.
Holding the soap.
Yeah. The incestuous relationship was documented in court and known to the village.
Ew.
Andreas had been found raping his daughter.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
and the town convicted both of them of incest. Jesus, like, she was being raped. How's that fucking her fault?
Right. It's not like she was like, yeah, I'm stuck in the dryer.
Oh, bro. Oh,
step bro. Come get me.
Daddy, I can't get out of the dryer.
That's fucking horrible, bro.
Hey, hand me that bottle of olive oil.
After the Second World War, war captives from, oh, come on, Germany, Strobenhausen, claimed a German-speaking Soviet officer released them, claiming to be the Hinterkaifeck murderer.
What?
After the Second World War, war captives from Strobenhausen claimed a German-speaking Soviet officer released them, claiming to be the Hinterkaifeck murderer. The thing, like, I don't know how infamous this murder was, but why would a Soviet officer know about it? So that's hinky.
I'm starting to think maybe, just maybe, the old fucking kid across the street wanted in on some of the action.
Hold on. Wait, because there's more. Because there was a speculation that he was the father.
The kid?
No. The old man from the next farm?
Oh.
He was the father
of Joseph. Yeah. Sounds like a bunch of fucking yahoos don't know what the hell they're doing.
Sounds like they live deep in the woods of West Virginia.
Yeah. Well, did the kid bark? The other one fucking... Does he have Cheeto sweatpants?
So after that...
I do.
After... after those captives were... re-questioned, they revised their statements and it reduced the credibility of the statement that it was a German-speaking Soviet officer.
That just seems highly unlikely.
It theorized the officer was Karl Grabel. Witnesses claim to have seen him after his reported death expressing a desire to go to Russia. So, the husband. They're saying it was the husband who defected to Russia and fought for the Russians in World War II.
Okay.
Lawrence Schlittenbauer was suspected of having a relationship with Victoria.
Christ's bitch gets around.
After the death of his first wife in 1918.
Although it is very lonely out there, I imagine.
I said it's pretty rural. Locals suspected Schlittenbauer early of the investigation because of suspicious actions at the crime scene.
She's a village bicycle.
Schlittenbauer and friends had to break the gate to enter the barn where the bodies were found because all the doors were locked. After discovering the bodies, Schlittenbauer unlocked the front door with a key and entered the house alone, raising suspicions. A key to the house had gone missing several days earlier, potentially allowing Schlittenbauer access. Schlittenbauer claimed he went to the house alone to look for his son, Joseph.
Sorry to cut you off, but honestly, though, do you really think they locked their doors?
Apparently they did, because someone had to hack the lock off the shed door.
They must have been doing some naughty things in that Schlitterhitzel homestead.
Schlitterhitzel.
Oh, no. Here comes the coffee salesman again.
Quick, fluff the pillows. Let's see. Oh. He supposedly went in the house to see looking for his son, Joseph. He disturbed the bodies at the scene, potentially compromising the investigation. Local suspicion persisted due to Schlittenbauer's strange comments, indicating knowledge of details only the killer would know. In 1925, Schlittenbauer was discovered visiting the remains of Hinterkaifeck, claiming the frozen ground hindered the perpetrator's attempt to bury the families in the barn.
Wait, what?
That made no sense. In 1925, which is 3 years after the murder, Schlittenbauer was discovered visiting the remains of Hinterkaifeck, claiming the frozen ground hindered the perpetrator's attempt to bury the family in the barn.
Oh, okay, now I got it.
This was seen as evidence of intimate knowledge, though it could have been an educated guess, as the neighbor was familiar with the local land.
Well, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to say Germany, it was snowing, it was cold.
It's 20 below, you can't dig.
Yeah.
Let's see where we are there. Speculation that Schlittenbauer murdered the family after Victoria demanded financial support for Josef.
That'll do it.
Before his death in 1941, Schlittenbauer conducted and won several civil claims for slander against those who had accused him of being the murderer of Hinterkaifeck. So another another suspect was Adolf Gump.
Oh my God!
So that's Forrest Gump and Adolf Hitler had a love child. Adolf Gump listed as a suspect as early as April 9th due to his
fried schnitzel. We got bald schnitzel,
bald schnitzel. We got bike schnitzel. We got schnitzel with apples. That's all I know about schnitzel. he was listed as a suspect as early as April 9th due to his connections with Germany, dude.
How do you go from Adolf Gump to something you can't pronounce? Is Gump German?
I don't know. Adolf is.
Can you imagine what he looked like?
Connections to Fred Corpse Oberlin? I don't know. Fred Corpse? I don't know. In 1951, prosecutor Andreas Pop investigated brothers.
What? Iggy Pop? What?
Yeah, Iggy Pop investigated Adolf and Anton Gump in relation to the Hinterkaifeck murders.
Oh my God, this is so confusing.
Crescentia Mayer, their sister, claimed on her deathbed that Adolf and Anton had committed the murders. Anton Gump remanded to police custody based on the accusation, but Adolf was already dead in 1944.
I mean, no wonder they never found the murder. There was like 300 people that visited the crime scene before the cops got there, and then about half a dozen people admitted to the murder. This is crazy.
Anton was later dismissed in 1954. The case against him was discontinued. Anton could not be proven to have participated in the Hinterkaifeck murders. So Carl and Andreas S.
Carl.
Is this the...
This is who?
I'm wondering if this is the coffee salesman.
Oh. Well, they both had this. What's their last name?
S. Carl S. and Andreas S.
Yes, I think they are.
Okay. In 1971, Therese T. wrote a letter recounting an event from her youth. At age of 12, she witnessed her mother receiving a visit from the mother of Carl and Andreas. The woman claimed that her sons from Saddleburg were two murderers of Hinterkaifeck.
Jesus, here we go.
Everybody's pointing fingers at their fucking family, too. During the conversation, the mother mentioned that Andreas regretted losing his penknife. In 1923, when Hinterkaifeck farm was demolished, a pocket knife was found that could not be clearly assigned to anyone at the farm. The knife could potentially have belonged to one of the murderers.
How the hell would you know? a fucking something as common as a pocket knife It could be anybody's.
Here's how they know. The lead based on Lost Penknife followed without result. Rieger was the former maid at Hinterkai Effect. She was certain she had seen the penknife in the yard during her service. So then it could be assigned to someone at the fucking... But... I don't... This is fucking twisted, dude.
It's fucking Germans.
Peter Weber...
Well, he confessed to the crime.
Was named a suspect by Joseph Betts. Both worked together as laborers in the winter of 1919 and 1920 and shared a room. Weber spoke to Betts about a remote farm, Hinterkai Effect, where there was an old couple and her daughter and her two children. It was likely Weber was aware that of the incestuous relationship between Gerber and his daughter. Betts testified that Weber suggested killing the old man at Hinterkai Effect to obtain the family's money. When Betts did not respond to the offer, Weber ceased discussion on the matter. So apparently he had talked about going there to kill him. And here it is, another guy pointing at his friend. Moms pointing at their sons, friends pointing at their friends.
Forrest Gump's off the reservation. Adolf Gump.
There's so many fucking...
This keeps going. I see at the bottom there's another one.
Yeah. So, Betzler Brothers and George Siegel were suspected. The former maid, Rieger, from November 1920 to about September 1921, she's the one who left because of the noises.
Are you sure old Adolf Gump wasn't the detective on this?
I don't know.
That would sure explain a lot.
Suspected brothers of Anton and Carl Beechler of committing the murders. Anton Beechler had helped with the potato harvester at Hinterkai Effect and knew the premises. Rieger claimed that Anton talked to her often about the Gerber and Gerber family. Gerber and Gabrielle family, and suggested that the family ought to be dead. Emphasizing that the farm dog, which barked at anyone anytime, never barked at Anton.
Maybe the dog did it.
Reported speaking with a stranger through the window at night, believed that Carl Beechler and Anton's brother...
What?
Reported speaking with a stranger through her window at night, believed to be Carl Beechler.
Anton's brother.
Suspected that Anton and Carl, along with George Siegel, committed the murder. George Siegel had worked for Hinterkai Effect and knew of the family fortune, but the money wasn't taken. Siegel was accused of breaking into the home in November 1920 and stealing items, though he denied it. Siegel admitted to carving the handle of the murder weapon while working at Hinterkai Effect and knew the tool would be kept in the... So he worked on the tool and he knew where it would have been.
I could probably guess where that tool might have been too.
Yeah, no shit.
Maybe in the fucking barn
with the other tools. The Thaler brothers. They are lots of fucking brothers that are being accused of murder. Thaler brothers were suspected of Hinterkai Effect murders as Kazenza Rieger. Oh, the Rieger, the former maid.
The one that got away.
Yeah. Thaler brothers had a history of committing minor burglaries in the area before the crime. Joseph Thaler stood at Rieger's window at night asking some questions about the family. So, would he fucking sneak up to the house and start talking to the maid?
I mean, that's what happened with the last brothers.
Yeah. Or is she just a hoe?
She's a fucking... This bitch fucking set him up.
In the conversation, Joker Thaler claimed to know which members slept in which room and mentioned that they had significant amounts of money. Same thing. So, this maid's giving up fucking props on the fucking
Man, she fucking shutting him up, man.
Sounds like she was in on it.
I think she was.
During the conversation, Rieger noticed another person nearby. Rieger's statement indicated Joseph Thaler and the stranger looked at the machine house and turned their eyes upward.
What? Okay. There's a lot of odd facts that are...
Yeah, I know. Paul Mueller.
Yeah, I remember seeing that knife in the woods. That small little pocket knife.
I remember seeing it laying in the yard. Nobody picked it up. It just laid there. It must have been Mueller Brothers.
Bill James, in his book, The Man from the Train, suggested Paul Mueller, a German migrant, might be responsible for the Hinterkaifeck murders. Mueller was the only suspect in 1898 murder of a Massachusetts family. It's a little bit far apart, I think. James believed Mueller killed dozens of victims based on research in American newspaper archives. Mueller is believed to have killed several families in the U.S. between 1898 and 1912. Hinterkaifeck murders shared similarities with Mueller's suspected crimes in the United States. Similarities include the slaughter of an entire family in an isolated home, used a blunt farm tool, a pickaxe as a weapon, moving and stacking the bodies, an apparent absence of robbery as a motive, which makes sense. This fits. Like, this guy fits. James suspected Mueller, described as a German migrant in the contemporary media. He left the U.S. for his homeland in 1912. Private investigators and journalists began noticing and publicizing family pattern and family murders in the state across state lines.
Hmm.
So he actually makes the most sense.
Yeah. Wow.
So all those suspects and all those moms and brothers and maids pointing out all these other suspects.
Only got nowhere with it.
They got nowhere with it. They never, but they were, it was a particularly brutal murder.
So I was figuring that this was going to go in like some kind of poltergeist fucking avenue.
That's what I felt in the beginning.
Because that's what it sounded like in the beginning, like the knocking on the wall, the moaning in the bathroom at night.
I think one of the theories was that someone was living in the house with him.
Just trying to, like, creep him out.
Him moving around could have been a knocking. I don't know. He or she. I don't want to leave you ladies out.
But
you can kill with the best of them.
The luring into the barn, the tool barn at night or whatever. I don't know. This whole fucking thing's weird, man.
The whole thing is weird. And what I don't understand, if the father was doing a nasty with the daughter, raping her.
Why wouldn't he be, if they were...
Well, why would they charge her with incest?
Yeah. What, did they serve any time for that?
I don't know.
I would imagine, like, Germany was probably pretty religious, right? You know, them old...
I don't know.
Old Testament fucking...
I don't know.
I don't know what kind of religion they would have practiced.
I don't know.
Huh. Well, I've absolutely learned nothing from this.
Yeah,
I'm sure he probably butchered everyone's name.
Yeah, everyone's name. Every German name on here has we've been managed sufficiently to, butchered. We've managed to offend 3/4 of Germany.
They butchered their names worse than the fucking family was.
So I'm just going to end this here. We took on the Hinterkaifeck murder.
Did we
probably screwed it up pretty good. Yeah. Now you go take on the world.